Hello, Legion of Audience. This is James, and before we get started today, I wanted to take a second and let you all know about the brand new Who Would Win Patreon. If you'd like to support the show and get behind-the-scenes access like you've never seen before, go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow right now. Who Would Win patrons will have access to outtake videos, early info on battles, and even get a vote on characters that we'll use in upcoming episodes. So if you'd like to support me and the show, head to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow, and for as little as $5 a month, you can define yourself as more than just a fan. You'll be an official member of the Legion. Hope to see you there.
Alarms go off and sirens blare. Marcus Cameron heads into the city to put out a fire with his team once again. Everything felt very routine as they pulled up to this office building that was ablaze and sweltering. It is then that Marcus sees Homelander zipping through the building, the bricks, the windows, the people, apparently causing all of the fire and additional damage. Marcus changes into Titan and immediately thinks, I've got to put this fire out one way or another. It's Dynamite versus Advent. It's the Seven versus the Regulators. It's Homelander versus Titan. Today on Who Would Win?
And welcome to another episode of Who Would Win, a show that completely ignores anything important happening in the world and instead focuses on a fictional battle between two characters from the worlds of comics, sci-fi, and fantasy. I'm your host, James Gavsey, and as always, I'm joined by the one and only Ray Stikanis. Today's matchup is a classic Who Would Win battle that pits two pillars of power against each other in one pay-per-view worthy battle. In one corner, you have Homelander, a powerful, morally ambiguous superhero with Superman-like abilities, versus Titan, the Ultraman, the flagship hero of the Advent comic book universe. As usual, I did the patented Who Would Win Google test just to see how many times this matchup has been discussed, and for some untold reason, this particular battle has not ever been discussed online, but all that changes as of today. Ray, what are your thoughts on today's matchup?
This is a really interesting matchup. You know, you'll talk in just a second where Titan came from. Surprised you haven't already, but that's okay. You will, because I don't know very much about Titan at all. There's no real way. It's a minor Advent Comics. Is a minor comic book company. Not like there's just Titan paraphernalia and action figures and movies and everything else to draw from that I could just go quickly onto YouTube or my TV or whatever and then just learn about. So I'm going to have to be playing a lot of improvisation here. And I understand that's probably one major reason why you picked this character. But I've got Homelander. And let me tell you right now, Homelander should have won his last battle. This is a deep level redemption match for Homelander, one of the greatest characters in television history. I'll say it, one of the greatest characters of all time, played brilliantly by Anthony Starr. I'm ready to take Homelander and run through Titan like he was Swiss cheese.
Listen, I'm not going to disagree with you. I think Homelander is this character that you love to hate and you love to watch and you love to read about. That Homelander is just that good. But Titan is something a little different. Look, I've been a huge fan of the Advent comic book universe for years, really. I became friendly with Tony Cottrell, who's the boss, the mindset, the Stan Lee, if you will, the genius mind behind Advent Comics. And this is a character that I'm telling you, give this a year because there's some big things happening with Advent Comics. The world is going to get to know Titan and the Advent Comics universe. But let me backtrack a little bit. So here's the deal. Somehow, I did the unprecedented, won 5 matches in a row. And Ray, you know, if you win 4, you get to pick a character that you want to rep on the show. Character of your choosing. It overcomes anything the Who Would Win production team gets to say. So I have been waiting. And then I got the 5th win in a row, which I still don't know how that happened. I have been waiting to bring Titan into the Who Would Win show for years. Today is that day. Today, the world will first see Titan more than they actually already see him because he's already all over the world, what have you. But this is where the Who Would Win audience, the Legion of audience, gets to see Titan for the first time. I am so excited. Now, by the way, let's backtrack a little bit. Last week, we had a little kind of a weird situation, if you will. Ray, I think you would agree with that, where Deathstroke took on the Care Bears, an epic battle, and our judge, Robert Clark Chan, gave us a decision. Somehow Deathstroke got the win, but I have no idea how it happened. We brought in scientists, scholars, Nobel Peace Prize winners, and just to try to figure out what the heck happened, no one can figure this out, and that's why we're going to have a much more epic battle today with our contestants. By the way, did you get a really weird call from Executive VP of who would win, Brent Pope?
Okay, thank you so much. I thought I was the only one who got it. I guess it must have been a Who Would Win show company-wide. All of a sudden, I look and there's this very late at night email from when the show first dropped. I guess Brent Pope stayed up late. He listened to it and then immediately had something to say because I woke up the next morning just shocked to hear what he had to say. Are we going to play some of that voicemail on the show here?
You know what? Let's do it. Let's let the Legion of Audience, our fan base, hear what Executive VP Brent Pope has to say.
Yeah. Executive VP Brent Pope left this voicemail on all of our, I'll just cut an excerpt out of it, but he left his voicemail for all of us to hear.
Hey team, who would win? It's Brent Pope, Executive VP. I'm calling because we need to discuss this Care Bears Deathstroke decision.
Mr. Pope?
Yes, hold on. Yeah?
We're now inviting you to set.
Oh, great. Give me 2 seconds.
Okay.
Thanks to Leo. Sorry about that. As I was saying, that Care Bears Deathstroke decision was, I mean, one of the board members said to call it nonsensical would be an insult to the word nonsensical, and I kind of agree. The Care Bears, they didn't meet the criteria for win because he didn't stay for tea? I mean, what criteria for a win did Deathstroke meet? This can't happen again. I need to go. They need me on set, but this will be discussed further, so everybody buckle up.
Now, those are some strong words, James Gavsey. I don't know. I'm worried about the future of Robert Clark Chan in this organization.
I don't know what to make of any of this. This could be a turning point for the whole show. I've never heard Executive VP Brent Pope sound like that ever before. Look, here's the deal, Ray. I think you and I can be safe within the show and make Brent Pope very happy with what we're about to do. Because, you know, when you have an epic battle like what we have today, you need an epic judge, a judge of epic status to render an epic decision. We are going to make up for last week's episode in a big way with what's going to happen today. So, without further ado, making their first appearance on the Who Would Win show, it's podcaster extraordinaire, it's Who Would Win superfan, it's the Viking himself, I can't believe this, it's Ken Bjorn Turner. Ken, welcome to Who Would Win.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I'm looking forward to this.
Ken, you know, you've been a huge supporter of the Who Would Win show for years. We can't say thank you enough. You're absolutely awesome. Tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, what you've been up to.
Let's see. Working on the Bjorn's Keep podcast. We're going to get that kicked off for Sirius this coming year. Doing some writing. Vikings versus Predator. Just seems like mostly doing things like it was on the Club Dial-Up show once. And then I'm also doing a little piece in an upcoming episode of some reclaimed Detroit. Just have a small little bit part in that, but it's not bit, any part's big, but it's going to be fun to do.
You know, you're not a small guy, right? You're a big guy, therefore you have big parts. Here's the deal. You come across as a very likable, but no-nonsense type of guy, whether it's on social media, whether it's in person, whatever it is, you seem to be likable, but man, you are very direct. And when it's time for you to make a statement, you make that statement down the road. How do you feel you're going to do today as a first-time judge on the Who Would Win show?
Well, I'm just going to approach it like I do, even as I always do as a member of the Legion. I'm going to sit there, listen to both sides. If I know anything previous about the characters, it's out the window unless you guys actually say the words. Any little thing I've ever complained about is not going to happen with me because I'm going to learn from other people's mistakes. That's how we say it.
You know, a lot of judges come in here and say that. Look, Brent Pope left us a very sternly worded voicemail, and he's the guy who gave us the deleted scene from Shrek decision. So I'll just say the infinite mind fog is a real thing, and I hope you took your blockers before you came in here.
I have my drink of the gods. I have my coffee, so that's at one level. I have epics of Norse sagas going through my head of what the gods did and how they did their decisions. And being Norse mythology, there's Loki. So once you learn the tricks of Loki, it's very hard for other people to trick you because you're always looking out for that.
Dang, I wish I was using Loki today, quite honestly, as the direct result of that statement.
You know what? Yeah, Bjorn, you and I have been, I can call you that. You and I have been on the same page for a lot of different things that have happened on social media and what have you. I've checked out, been able to check out your podcast. I think you and I are on the same page. I would never try to fool you with anything, especially in today's episode where I'm repping the first time appearance of a character from a brand new comic book universe we've never used before on the Who Would Win show. I get the responsibility you have. I get the responsibility I have. Ray is also here.
How dare you?
So with that said, it's about time. Ray, please do us the honors and announce today's matchup.
Representing Dynamite Comics, the superhero who will save you from any situation, given that it helps his Q rating, Homelander. And representing Advent Comics, the most powerful man with the last name Cameron since Kirk, Titan.
He's more powerful than James Cameron?
No, Kirk Cameron.
No, I know. Kirk is more powerful than James Cameron. Like,
oh, easily. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure. For sure.
Wow. That's okay. I better not say anything.
He's got powers, James. Powers you don't know about.
It's true. The
powers to rile people up.
Wow. Okay. Now, well done, Ray. Before we go any further, let's go over the official rules of a Who Would Win match. Rule number one, each debater will make 3 points. Rule number two, the Who Would Win match is a random encounter in a neutral location with no prior knowledge of the opponent or time to prepare for the fight. Rule number three, the debater must stay within the confines of the character's personality, and the exact version of that character has to be specifically stated. Ray, this is super important. What version of Homelander are you using today?
You know, last time against, I believe, Red Hulk, I should have won. I used Homelander from the TV show. I'm going to switch it up this time and do something different. I'm going to use Homelander from the comic books this time to give you a refreshing and different perspective for a couple of reasons. One, I think this version might be even more powerful than the TV version. And two, I guarantee you didn't see that coming.
I did not see that coming. I was focused too much on Titan because right now Titan is only available, really, in comic book form. However, I do predict that Titan will be available in video game form, live action form, and animated form in the very near future. Hope I'm not ruining any surprises, Tony Cottrell. All right, rule number four. Debaters may only use examples of skills, powers, or weapons that are a long-established part of the character's continuity. Feats from non-canon crossovers are allowed, but will be given less weight. Rule number five. The winner of the debate is whoever the judge decides is the best case for defeating their opponent by death, submission, or battlefield removal, where no attack or threat can be made for at least 2 minutes, and where no outside interference is allowed. And finally, rule number six, the judge is the final arbiter and can disallow or veto any point they feel violates these rules or established logic. And before we get started, don't forget to visit the official Who Would Win store. Visit www.whowouldwinstore.com to get your hands on some great Who Would Win shirts and merch. And now, let's get to the tail of the tape for both of our combatants. Ray, please give us the details for Homelander.
Homelander is a corporate superhero from the comic and TV series The Boys. He was created by Garth Ennis and Derek Robertson and first appeared in the comic book The Boys, number 3, back in 2006. He was played on screen by Anthony Starr in The Boys TV show on Amazon Prime. I said it before, I'll say it again. Great job, that guy. Representing a messed up version of the American dream, Homelander is a USA-based superhero born and raised in a lab with all the Superman powers you would expect him to have. One difference, of course, he's more interested in public opinion and raking in cash than he is about, you know, saving people and that weird thing, justice. Thus, we have Homelander, the corporate superhero, in all the early 2000s commentary on superheroes. And let's face it, around that time of the late 90s through the aughts, there were a lot of comic book send-ups with Supreme Power coming out, with The Boys coming out. There was a top 10. There was a lot of send-ups. Watchmen even counts. That's the 80s, but who cares? Anyway, this version of Superman commentary got a little bit more bite to it. He's the driving force behind the success of the TV show, The Boys, as well. Did I mention it's on Amazon Prime? Give me that sponsorship. Fun fact, Homelander is the exact expression of strength that we are trained to be smarter than in this day and age. However, one thing that must be stated is that he is an ordained minister. Take that, Kirk Cameron. Yes, that means that no matter what heinous deeds he ends up committing on screen, dude is still legally able to marry you to your future husband or wife. So rest assured, As much as you might mess up in life, Homelander could theoretically be there with you to tie the knot. And that is Homelander.
Would he be invited to, like, the after dinner party thing, the reception?
0% chance. Unless he shows up, then of course you're welcome here.
That's true. How are you going to say no? All right, well done. Here are the details for Titan. Titan, whose real name is Marcus Cameron, was created by the genius mind of Tony Cottrell and first appeared in the Advent Universe's Pandemonium Evil Incarnate graphic novel back in 2009. Marcus Cameron seemed to have it all, a childhood sweetheart whom he married, kids, and a professional life. However, after some bad decisions and questionable actions, Marcus saw his marriage dissolve and therefore threw himself deeper into his career as a firefighter. While responding to a fire at Advanced Technologies Laboratory, Marcus attempted to rescue trapped personnel when an experimental device used to tap into stellar energies exploded, engulfing Marcus in incalculable cosmic power. As a result, Marcus became the most powerful being on the planet and dubbed himself Titan, the Ultraman. Since then, Titan has saved the city, the country, the planet, and even saved his dimension from the forces of evil, all while swearing to never give up and to never lose. And here's an interesting fact about Titan. Did you know that Titan, the greatest hero from the Advent Comics universe, was created by a superhero? It's true. As I've already mentioned, Advent Comics, as well as the character of Titan, the Ultraman, was created by Tony Cottrell. On top of being a creative genius, Tony has also served as a firefighter for 27 years, which quite clearly makes him a real-life superhero, at least in my family and amongst my circle of friends. And on top of having a family and a career as challenging as a firefighter, Tony somehow started a comic book company back in 2009, created an entire universe, got distribution for his various comic book titles, and as of now, Advent comic books are available for sale in 6 continents and over 34 countries around the world. And what's his secret to success? Well, it's something that the heads of Marvel and DC should consider doing again. Advent Comics focuses on providing high-quality comics and emphasizes fan satisfaction. It actually says that on the Advent Comics website. Do you hear that, Marvel and DC? Fan satisfaction. Who would have thought that making fans happy would be a good idea for a comic book company? And that's just
lame.
That's just one of the many reasons to start buying and reading Advent Comics. By the way, go to adventcomics.com to check out a Titan the Ultraman issue made available to the Legion of Audience for free. Download as a PDF. It is awesome. Get to know Titan thanks to Tony Cottrell and the Advent Universe. And now you have the facts on both opponents. Ken, do you have any questions before we get started?
I'm just curious about Homelander. You said he was a certified reverend or certified...
He was an ordained minister, apparently.
So he could actually like do all these things and then do a confession of himself and be scot-free.
Well, that's a little bit different than being a religious figure. To be an ordained minister actually doesn't take a whole heck of a lot. Many of my friends have done it. You just go to the Universal Church of Life online, fill out a form, give them like $20, and they officially make you legally an ordained minister. Oh. So it's not actually as impressive as I'm pretending.
I was just curious. There was just a side thing.
But he could forgive himself, and I believe often does.
Ken, no, are you thinking of a new career as an ordained minister? Because I could see it.
It could be interesting. Do it all Viking themed.
So I'm thinking.
Universal Church of Viking.
I mean, I don't know. That sounds pretty good.
Do baptism in ale.
Well, I'm listening.
Go on. All right, very cool. Ray, let's get this party started. Hit us with your point number one.
Point number one for Homelander. Let's talk about some of his basic attributes, durability, speed, and more. This is a character who, let's face it, he's a Superman type. And they made a point to try to make him as exactly like Superman as they possibly could. And that meant giving him super speed. There's a character named A-Train, we're all familiar with, who can move, you know, beyond Mach 3, probably faster. And of course, Homelander punches him. A-Train can get out of the way of just about everything. He moves so fast, you can't even see him go. Homelander moves faster than that, to the point where he can tag him whenever he needs to. A-Train lives in fear, just like everybody else does, of Homelander. This is a guy who moves faster, Homelander, than Starlight can even see. Starlight, again, a super character with the super senses. She can't even follow his movements. He moves so fast. The characters of the boys, when they're hopped up on Compound V, they can dodge Stormfront's lightning, right? That one character we all remember from, season 2? If you can dodge lightning, you're very, very fast. Well, Homelander still gets them, too. And this is the point I'm trying to make. The speed is immaculate when it comes to Homelander. He also doesn't feel any fatigue at any point. One of James's favorite points is superheroic endurance. I don't think this battle's going to last a year and a half straight, but if it does, I know that Homelander can keep on fighting and not even feel tired even a little bit. He's very, very durable as well. Queen Maeve once grabbed a guy and threw him at Homelander. The dude hit Homelander in the chest and then crumpled up like an accordion. Homelander was unfazed, undamaged, and unmoved by this movement. Also, he's bulletproof. You can shoot him with rifles, with high-impact assault rifles, with pistols, whatever the heck you happen to have. None of it is going to ever pierce his skin or do any damage to him at all. In fact, Queen Maeve, who is, you know, maybe the number two strongest hero in the Seven, at least, you know, and makes her one of the upper echelon of strength characters in the world of the boys, she took a sword and tried to hit him over the head with the sword the hard way. And all that happened was the sword shattered on his forehead. And this is a super-powered, super-strength, Wonder Woman-esque character doing this to him, and it did absolutely nothing. Maeve otherwise is, generally speaking, untouchable by even super-heroic characters with super-strength. And this is what happens when she comes at him. He's also underrated, very, very smart. He's a very cunning character. He makes other people sort of bow to his will, do what he wants. All the other members of the Seven are terrified of him. He's got rules about, like, you can't use superpowers unless the cameras are on. And because they understand that he could break all of their necks at a moment's regret, he absolutely is feared by all these superheroic characters in his own world. He understands people quickly, though. He understands someone quickly because, well, we'll talk about that in point number two, but he uses what he surmises and always seems to do it correctly. He gets it what you're going for, and then either finds a way to give it to you, take it away from you, make you think you've got it. Either way, you end up doing what he wants him to do. And last thing, there was a simulation ran in the world of the boys, where the boys hopped up on Compound V were going to go versus the Seven in a team versus team battle, a who would win style battle, if you will. According to this very detailed simulation, 82% of all outcomes of that fight is only Homelander survives. 82% of the time, you have all these members of the boys hopped up and superheroic, all the members of the Seven who maybe even want to attack Homelander as well, and he's the only one walking out of the room. That's all you gotta say. This guy is too strong, too fast, too durable, got too many powers, which we'll get into in point number two. This Titan fellow doesn't have a prayer, and that's my point number one.
This is going to be fun. That's all I'm going to say. Let me kind of push back on a few things. Again, I love the character of Homelander because I love hating this character so much. He's just so well written, so well portrayed on live action in the TV series. Okay, you say he's a Superman type. That's like saying, okay, you know, Quicksilver, when he first came out in Marvel Comics, was a speedster. So I guess he's like a Flash type. No. Quicksilver, at that time anyway, was a fraction of the speed that the Flash could do. That's the same kind of equivalent for Homelander to Superman when you say he's a Superman type. I'll go into more details about that later. Now, in terms of speed, yeah, he's got super speed, Mach 3, probably Mach 5, probably Mach 6, but he's not traveling faster than light, something that Titan can do. So in terms of speed, Titan's all over that. In terms of durability, I love how Ray brought up that he's bulletproof and he's also people-proof. So if Titan decides to pick up a person and hit Homelander with the person, it won't work that well.
Nope.
Oh, well, I'll have to scratch that off of my list of possible attacks. Yeah, well played, Ray Stakanis.
Nailed it.
All right. On top of that, you know, Homelander gets his way because he is the most powerful being of his world, possibly, whatever, his universe. And, you know, he terrorizes people because of it. And he's a bully. That's what he is. He's a classic bully with a whole bunch of other psychological issues. With Titan, as I'll demonstrate, a bully, that's someone Titan would love to beat up, would love to wreck, because he's always standing up for those in need. He's going to see someone with those psychological issues who's trying to bully him, and Titan's going to smile and just wreck that person. That's all I got to say about that. Let me just jump into my point number one for Titan. And for my point number one, let's talk about Titan's powers and his abilities. And let's set the tone of the overall power of Titan right away. In the Advent universe, when other heroes need help to take on the most powerful beings in their dimension, as well as others that come into there to attack. They call him Titan, who they literally consider as the cavalry. Titan, as I mentioned before, he can tap into cosmic energies. He harnesses the power of stars, which makes him a stellar energy generator. That's according to his write-up from Advent Comics. And as a result of his power level, it's seriously off the charts, comparable to Superman-type characters. Let me explain. In terms of strength, he's probably without compare. I'd put him as easily stronger, even stronger, than Silver Age Superman or Odin Force Thor or World War Hulk. He's been observed to easily lift over 300 tons. He picked up a cruise ship that weighed well over 200 tons and flew in the sky with it like it was nothing. When some scientists decided to test his strength, they had to stop at 300 billion tons that he was pressing easily because they couldn't add any more weight to this machine. It was crazy. And Titan wasn't using any type of strain. There was no, like, he was like, oh, I'm putting, no, he was just like, all right, I got this. What else you got? He kept on going. He could probably do twice as much as that. That is insane. To put this in perspective, Titan, at 300 billion tons he can lift overhead, can probably lift three times the state of New York. That is three times the state of New York. That's probably at least 3,000 times stronger than Homelander. If Homelander was, as you know, could lift maybe 500 tons, he's probably way stronger than that anyway, in terms of what Titan is in comparison to Homelander. All right, now, Titan can manipulate his body's density. Now, as a result of all this, this is why he can become, he's invulnerable, he can make himself more dense, and, you know, depending on who he's fighting, if he needs to make himself more durable, more dense, he can actually increase that density and drop it down. He can also manipulate his personal gravity field, which enables him to fly. That's really cool. He can breathe underwater and in space. His stamina is limitless. I'd love to put his stamina up in a fight against Homelanders, because I do think Titan's just gonna like wreck him with that limitless stamina and all his power. He can move and fly at super speed. He can move faster than light. He's at least as fast as Superman because that's how he was created. That's how he was envisioned by the creator, which was not the case for Homelander when he was created back in the day. Titan can also shoot insanely powerful levels of cosmic energy from his hands and parts of his body as energy blasts. Here's a fun one. He can detect energy and also absorb energy of any type. That includes energy blasts of all types, even magical energy, and when he gets hit with energy, he absorbs it in such a way where it makes him even stronger. Wonder if Homelander's going to try something like that. And Titan's greatest ability, actually, is his superpowered willpower. Titan has incredible will to win. This is, again, how he's written. He refuses to lose or come up short in a fight. That's the character. That's what's cool about it. This is what he's known for. His desire to beat evildoers, to never lose, because he knows so many billions of innocent people across the world are dependent on him. Put all that together, and this is bad news for Homelander. That's my point number one.
James, of course, he's got willpower. Oh no, that thing that all judges always get swayed by. He just wants it real bad. Well, sometimes that's just not enough. And James, you got to give us some examples here. This is one of the biggest problems you're going to have today, is you're saying a whole lot of stuff, but you provided no examples proving it. I could say that Homelander could lift five times New York City, and that's fine, but without examples to prove it. When was Titan actually lifting the state of New York on top of the state of New York on top of the state of New York? Show me the example of him holding three New Yorks in the air, and I'll take that claim seriously. Until then, he's just strong. And Homelander's very, very strong. Where's the times that someone shot at him with heat vision that tears superpowered characters in half and he just absorbed it? You got to tell us about it happening. If you just sit here and say, theoretically, these are things I believe. And James, I understand you have the willpower, very, very strong willpower to believe whatever you need to for a battle in that moment because you change your opinion on stuff as soon as the bell rings, please. And his cosmic attack, well, Homelander's so fast, how's he going to hit him with it? You talk about, oh, Superman type, like Quicksilver to Flash. Is that like saying James Gavsey is a debate type when compared to me? Because I am crushing you today.
I think it's more like if you and I went to the gym, you would be a Quicksilver type. I'd be a James Gavsey type. And you could say like, hey, it's a similar type. They're both lifting weight. One is just infinitely more powerful and better looking and smarter with better prospects for the future. All right, listen, let's go to our judge, Ken Bjorn Turner. You've heard one point from both Ray and myself. Where's your head at so far with this battle?
Oh, okay. Great points already. I'm loving this. I'm familiar with Homelander. Didn't ever hear Titan before, so it's learning new stuff there. But I just have a couple questions. Ray, the simulation you said, was this something done in the comic or just something off story, no, or is it just a nice aside story?
This is in the actual comic itself. I'm not dealing with things that the writer said after the fact. Nothing like that. This is something that happened in the comics. I'll try to refine the panel so I can give you more info on it after you ask James his question.
Oh, yeah, I was just curious, like, if it was something done inside and out or out.
It was in the actual comic books, though.
Okay. I'll believe you. You know,
James, do you, though?
Do
you believe him?
Until it can be proven otherwise, at least directly with me. Sam, like, I trust you, but you lose that trust, then everything's gone, guys. Examples of the energy that he shoots. How strong? Because you could just say people shoot energy. Dazzler shoots energy and stuff like that. Is there any examples of, like, has he, can it go through 50 feet of concrete and steel? Can it, you know, saw a bus in half, or, you know, go through a train, you know, stuff like that? I'd just like to know a little bit more, like, of the power level of the energy shooting, you know?
So here's the deal with Titan. Because of this cosmic power he can tap into, his power, and again, this is coming straight from Tony Cottrell, the creator of the universe, never mind just his character, his power level is pretty much limitless. He can tap into whatever he needs to tap into, because some of the things that he has to take on, and I am using the word things, are so insane that he needs that limitless power level. His power is the energy that he can shoot out of his hands. At the very least, consider them anywhere from, they can destroy armored opponents, rip apart super level powered beings, to destroying planets. That, it all depends on what he's facing at the time. This is an insanely powered character who's also crazy smart and has the fighting skill to go with it.
Now, does he always have a peak level of energy stored and just builds up from there as the challenge gets up, you know, or?
Think of him as, if you're familiar with Dragon Ball Z, for example, yep. Think of him at least at like Super Saiyan 3 is his starting level. That's gotcha. His starting level. And again, what I'll say, my point number two will illustrate how crazy the level of power his opponents have, which is why he has to tap into that cosmic power and go up to such a level.
Okay, cool. Thank you for the details there. That's kind of what I'm looking for. Right now, as far as who's leading, I have to say Homelander is leading just because of the examples I've gotten. Because I could see some kind of concrete evidence of, like, what he has. Knowing what Titan could do is great, but without having some examples of what he did. But you said that's going to come up in point two, so we'll see what happens there.
I doubt it.
Yeah, why would I have examples of what he's
doing?
Never
knew before.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry, both of you. The examples are coming. All right, Ray, here's for your point number
James's
two.
James's favorite reference point, because I said so. Point number two for Homelander. Let's talk about his power set. On top of the fact that he's, of course, you know, super skilled, super, super fast, super smart, etc., endurance, bulletproof. He has superpowers. He, of course, flies. I don't actually know if Titan flies. I'm going to assume that he does, because if he doesn't, he's in for a very extra rough exchange here. But Homelander can not only fly, but fly at very hypersonic levels. He can fly from New York City to Washington, D.C. in just a few seconds, you know, in a very, very short order. This is a guy who, remember that plane thing that happened in season one of the TV show where he said, oh, the plane's too heavy. I can't quite carry it. It's just not so good. Really, what happened here in the comic book version, instead of it going down sort of like that, he said, I'm going to try to take off and I'm going to try to push the tail down so I can change the direction of the plane. And the problem is he doesn't know how to, like, hold back his powers. So he dove down into the plane and ended up tearing the plane in half with his body, just trying to push it a little bit. That's the thing. Homelander doesn't even mean to do it, and he's knocking people's heads off with one punch. These are super-powered characters. He doesn't control his power because he doesn't feel a need to do so. And even when a deft touch is called for, he can't do it. That's how strong he is. And let's talk about his super senses, because he uses these real well. He can hear heartbeats from people. He can tell if somebody's got an elevated heart rate. He can tell when people are hiding from him. He can use his super sense of smell to smell fear and anger. He can tell the difference. And often knowing what's going on in somebody's head through these sort of social cues can let you know what they're going to do next. And if you can accurately predict the next move of your opponent, you have a massive advantage in how you can approach the situation, especially when you're as fast and as strong as Homelander. Of course, he also has a sonic scream. I don't know why in the comic books they gave him a black canary scream, but it's 20 times louder than any human, and it ruptures everyone's eardrums when it within like a city block area whenever he uses it. So I don't know why I don't think he's done that on the TV show yet, but that's crazy. I actually learned that myself through this. Of course, he has X-ray vision. It's a special kind of X-ray vision, of course. He can see through multiple level of objects, which means he can see through one person, through a second person, through a wall of a building, and then beyond it. That's just like using hyper sight with X-ray vision, and he's absolutely able to use that. Wherever Titan goes, whatever Titan does, he's not going to surprise Homelander. Homelander's going to know what he's going to do ahead of time, and he's not going to be able to hide and sneak up on him. This is going to be a knock-up, drag-out brawl that Homelander has the advantage in. Not to mention the heat vision. When Homelander was a newborn baby, he blew out his heat vision and murdered every doctor and nurse in the room when he was born. The umbilical cord had not been cut yet. He might have cut it himself with his heat vision. This is deadly. And he's had how many years since he was born to hone this, to learn about it, and maybe make it even more powerful as he grows. I appreciate that Titan can take small levels of energy, quote unquote, like Black Panther's suit. But remember, that can get pierced too by a vibranium spear, as happened in the second Black Panther movie, Wakanda Forever. His heat vision is so intense and so powerful, I could absolutely see him cutting through whatever Titan's even pretending to bring right there. And I already mentioned the aircraft. That was my next thing to mention right here, but he can. He's done it. He takes down an airplane just by trying to push it a little bit. I have more strength feats coming in my point number 3 to really show you how damaging this character is. But this guy's got a power set on top of a power set. Titan seems a little bit more limited. Sorry. And that's my point number 2.
Wow. I just wish there was something I could push back on against these points. Let me see if I can. I like how you said he's super skilled, yet at the same time, he has little to no actual fighting training, little to no fighting technique. And again, trying to save a plane, which, you know, takes some skill. You got to balance, you know, make sure your power doesn't accidentally break the plane, whatever. With his team, they couldn't do it. In fact, in this comic book line, comic book stories, if I'm not mistaken, they tried to pass off a story that it was a terrorist plot and some terrorists blew up the plane, as opposed to the truth, which was they just couldn't handle a plane because they're not a good team. They're not skilled enough to figure out how to land a plane and control their power. Very little skill in that part. Titan does fly. Compared to Homelander, he flies just much faster. Again, he can fly faster than light. Homelander's not slow, don't get me wrong, but he's just nothing compared to the speed of Titan. I'm happy Homelander can hear heartbeats and smell fear and anger because he'll be facing him. Guess what Titan doesn't do? He doesn't hide. He goes straight up to the person. He's like, here I am. Let's go. And then he just dismantles whoever he's fighting. I'm glad Homelander can smell anger because that will be a factor, I guess. Titan has tanked sonic attacks before like it was nothing. They didn't affect him. And in terms of heat vision, I've already explained this. Titan has taken on, he can absorb any type of energy attack, especially other characters who have heat vision. So he takes on that heat vision and he lets it power him up because he absorbs it and he gets a slight little boost from whatever energy he takes on. Thanks, Homelander. That's a lot of fun. Let me get to my point number 2. And you're going to see where I'm going with this. Now, let's talk about some big wins and some big feats for Titan. Now, Titan, in earlier issues, remember, you're starting off with a super powerful character already. He battled the fallen angel and demon lord, Omen. Omen is a biblical level powered character, an upper echelon biblical character who had super speed, super strength, super durability, and was a world breaker. And that's who he beat in one of his first battles. I mean, that's great. Hey, I'm a superhero. Who am I taking on? Am I, you know, helping people who are like trying to escape, you know, or, you know, fire or whatever? No. You're taking on a demon lord, Omen. Have fun with that. And he did, anyone. Speaking of biblical, Titan defeated the fallen angel and demon lord, Belial, a supernatural being who's even much more powerful than Omen, who is considered more powerful. I'd say put them even more powerful than Superman. And this is an example of where Titan had to power up because now he's fighting biblical characters, you know, characters that are coming together to take on literally God. This is crazy. Titan battled the pretty much omnipotent Lucifer Morningstar to a standstill. Lucifer Morningstar, again, omnipotent, ruled over and controlled hell, was also someone who wanted to take on God, take over the earth, and rid the planet of all humanity. Lucifer completely underestimated Titan and didn't think a human could ever be that powerful. That's how strong Titan was, or is. Fun fact, Titan managed to escape a black hole event horizon. In case space. You're wondering if he can fly in space and how powerful he really is. That's what he did. Titan Battle, this is really cool. And there's an invulnerable character, Superman equivalent character, known as Legend. And Legend's power levels are like the old school Superman level, where Superman could chain planets together and drag them through space. Or if he sneezed, he would destroy a planet. And in their fight, Titan knocked him out. Actually, during this fight, when Legend was being mind-controlled and forced to fight Titan, and Titan could not be mind-controlled, by the way, Titan hit Legend so hard that the psychic feedback hurt the telepath who was controlling him so badly that he got floored as well. Imagine hitting someone who's being telepathically controlled so hard that the telepath gets knocked out from that hard shot. That's how powerful Titan is. Titan simultaneously beat a team, a magical team made up of a Cyclops, a Minotaur, a Harpy, a powerful elf in the realm of magic, which is a cool thing in the Titan universe. He battled and defeated another omnipotent magical genie named Jinn of the Cauldron. Again, a genie who could grant wishes and control reality. One-on-one, Titan beat that character. Titan was able to beat the all-powerful Merlin in the realm of magic. Think of Merlin being the equivalent of Dormammu, Doctor Strange's main villain who controls the master of the dark dimension he lives in. And he beat him using intelligence, skill. He outthought Merlin, which is crazy to think of. Then fought the entire realm of magic itself. Merlin brought the realm to life to fight Titan, and Titan beat the realm using his energy blast, his speed, his power. This is crazy. In an epic show of force, Titan fought against Merlin and another character named Avalon, and what they were trying to do was take their realm of magic, their whole dimension, and push it into and on top of the Earth dimension that Titan resides in, and Titan stopped the dimension from being pushed into Earth's dimension. I don't know how that works. That's just how powerful Titan is. He stopped an entire dimension from trying to be pushed onto Earth's dimension, overtake it. But my favorite thing that Titan did, this is really cool. Titan beat a superpowered villain team known as the Fight Club. And each member of the Fight Club was a superpowered expert fighter, some in MMA, some in more traditional martial arts. All of them super powerful, insanely skilled. And it's this fight where we see the main difference between Homelander and Titan. So Titan's facing off against one of the members of the Fight Club. He calls in the rest of the team. It's made up of 10 additional super fighters, so 11 in total. They go to town on Titan, who's holding his own, is getting hit from every direction. And as I'm reading this comic, I'm wondering, why isn't Titan just flying off in a tactical retreat? And that's when Titan reveals he took everyone's shot because he wanted to see what everyone was capable of, because he'd never faced them before. And he's like, in case I need to face him again, let me see what's up with them. And once he understood it, he smiled and then took all of them out one by one like they were nothing. This character took out, again, insanely powerful, trained MMA fighters who were evil, traditional martial arts who were evil, all with superpowers, who had destructive capabilities. He took out an entire team of them, 11 of them, like they were nothing. In the end, oh, by the way, he also did Bruce Lee's one-inch punch, but he applied some super speed to it to make it like Race to Canis, an infinite mass punch on this character, and blew him across the country. I just love this character of Titan. In the end, this is an insanely superpowered hero who's insanely super skilled at fighting and can think outside of the box. He took out Merlin. That's my point number two.
All right, well, plenty to push back here, absolutely. You know, you talk about, oh, Homelander has a lack of fighting skill, fighting talent. Well, Superman also famously was very untrained and relied on his super strength, and he did okay in fights, as I can remember through reading DC Comics. Remember, when Superman was depowered and put in the ring with Muhammad Ali, he got his butt handed to him. So let's face it, the powers easily make up for a lack of armbar knowledge. Thank you. And now you're talking about, finally you're giving us some examples. That's great. He fought biblical characters. Did he defeat David with a slingshot? Ooh, I'm deeply impressed by that. Oh, he fought a guy named Legend? He fought Will Smith from that one movie? Okay, I guess he's more powerful than Chris Rock. Then you talked about him beating elves and satyrs. He beat an entire D&D party. You're starting to win me over here, James. And I am shocked that you even mentioned that he beat Fight Club, because Fight Club would never talk about that, near as I can remember. I need more examples, James. According to you, every single person in this world is a Superman character. Because that seems to be where you start your power set with everybody. Is the mailman Superman as well? Does the guy who works at 7-Eleven behind the counter have a cape on? I need to know more. What you've told us so far, James, based on finally providing at least some type of examples, he's basically Omni-Man in power from Invincible. And I'm sorry, Homelander defeats Omni-Man no problem at all. Omni-Man, third most powerful character in his universe versus the most powerful character in the boys' universe? Give me number one over number three any day.
Race to Canis. Bring the logic to the Who Would Win show.
That's all I do.
That's all you do. I can't wait till you start. All right, we are at the turning point. Ken, you've had a moment to ponder 2 points from both Ray and myself. Who do you think is ahead, and what does the other side have to do to pull out the victory?
Oh, this is tough, because you did give us points, and, you know, Grant, frankly, when you said biblical level, it's like, well, what's biblical level? I mean, because some people believe in the Bible, some people don't, so you don't know what the thing is. But when you said Lucifer Morningstar, that gives you a little bit more of a baseline to go by. Like, okay, that's, you know, top tier, you know, of biblical powers. That's top tier for the evil side. So this guy's tougher than Lucifer. The surprise, you said he was surprised that he got defeated by a human. So the Fight Club team, I mean, some good examples. And then Ray gives me the same good examples too, with the strength and the super senses, which
I'm glad he can smell really well. That should be helpful in this fight.
Pushes it over the top. Don't make me mention tax law, James.
I don't really have any questions. It's just, I think it's neck and neck right now, because you know, Ray kind of, he gave me some more examples. I'm sorry, Ray, but it seems like your point number two was almost a continuation of point number one.
Maybe.
In a lot. So it didn't seem to really give me anything new, just a continuation. The hyper senses, which does help, because it gives me some things there. I like the idea that Titan punched someone so hard that the person controlling him got the psychic feedback. That's pretty cool.
That's Tony Cottrell's genius. I'm not even kidding there. That's Tony Cottrell, creator of Advent Comics, coming up with some great stuff. Please continue.
Okay. I like that. That's, you know, you don't usually see anything like that. You'll see like someone gets a force broken, but not the actual damage from it. I have to say it's neck and neck right now. You know, I was hoping to not have to go into ending of point two saying it's neck and neck, because you see it so many times, but just the skill of you guys debating just always brings that out, it seems. So
what do you need to hear in order to push it over the top for you?
Something big, something that's just going to like wow me, that's going to make me go, there's no way the other guy can beat this. You know, like an example of like breaking a world, or they come back from the dead no matter what happens and they're still the same strength, or an example where there's, you know, like Super Saiyan 20 type of level power in an instant. It doesn't take 3 shows to bring it up, you know, to get to that power, you know, something just to wow me, you know, that's going to prove that, yeah, no matter what the other person does, I can hear his heartbeat. That doesn't matter when I'm getting an energy bolt up my backside, something like that.
Interesting. Okay, I like where this fight is going. I also like my chances. Ray, let's see what you got. Hit us with your point number three.
Point number three. For Homelander, let's talk about his impressive strength and some of his feats, because he is the most powerful character in his entire universe. Absolutely. I mean, I don't even think that goes without question. Now, Homelander, of course, has a minor healing factor. So if Titan does get some shots in on him, which seems very unlikely, he can't heal back from them in a relatively fast period of time. This isn't Wolverine or Deadpool or Lobo, but he does have a healing factor of his own. Also, when he was younger, the Vaught Enterprises didn't know how to handle him. The way that they thought to handle him was they strapped a bunch of hydrogen bombs to him until he turned 18 years old. They were like, literally nothing we can conceive of can stop this guy from doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants. So let's make sure we put several, like, mini nukes, several hydrogen bombs all around him, and we think maybe that will work. They never had to test it. We don't actually know that would have been enough to stop him. Now, all members of the Seven can pierce titanium with their fingers. That's a very, very tough metal. And the fact that he could just go in, take his finger like he was the T-1000 and put holes in very, very tough metal. He could do that to bodies very well as well. He fought against a giant supervillain, a large-sized supervillain, and just decided to fly directly into his chest. He not only exploded out the back of his chest, killing him, he also somehow beheaded him at the same time. They don't show you enough panels to show exactly how that happened, but when he punches things, they explode. There's a Superman comic where he doesn't just break chains, he makes the chains explode from his force. That's Homelander to super heroic bodies, all right? He was attacked by a Special Forces platoon in an airplane hangar, I believe. And at the end of this battle, there was gore and viscera of that entire platoon all over, coating all the walls, floor, and ceiling of this airplane hangar, and Homelander didn't have a scratch on him. It was said in the comics, if the superheroes of the 1940s, who were very, very powerful, if they were TNT dynamite, Homelander is a nuclear bomb. That's just the level, one-to-one, apples-to-apples, of how powerful and strong he is in his universe compared to everybody else. He went to an airplane, and he ripped off the cockpit door, just, you know, without even thinking about it. Hands go through titanium, he rips out the cockpit door. I mean, that's pretty cool. Well, what's even cooler is he got mad at A-Train once. He reached backwards, grabbed the nose of a Harrier jet, and just threw it across the room to show A-Train that he wasn't interested in his malarkey in this moment. When you could casually throw a Harrier, you got some force behind what you're doing. Heck, you know, there's a big thing in the TV show where he can't land the plane because, you know, he can't quite fly as good and he can't be as strong in flight. Well, he grabbed a car with a family in it and then just flew it up into the clouds in the comic books just because he wanted to, seemingly showing there was no loss of strength when he flies there. Maybe they felt they had to add this later on in order to make him a little bit more, you know, palatable as far as a villain goes. I don't know. The thing to keep in mind, him and Queen Maeve, I said it before, those are the power duo of the seven. He one-shot Maeve, okay? Backhanded her, slapped her aside, took her down. In fact, later on in the series, spoiler alert, he one-shot punched her head clean off her body and out the window of a building, a skyscraper, the Vought 7 Tower. Unbelievable. You hit Maeve so hard her head comes off. What are you going to do to Titan? You're going to take his head off as well. And as far as feats go, well, he went to DC, walked right into the White House through all the guards, through all the superhero backup he could have possibly had, murdered the president of the United States, and sat in the Oval Office. He cooed America. He cooed the country that he was Homelander to in an effort to take it over. That's a guy who dreams big, much bigger than just being a fireman. And that's the type of killer instinct you need to win this battle. And that's my point number three.
Ooh, how dare you? How dare you make fun or lessen what firefighters do just on a personal note? That is a horrible thing to do, Race to Canis. But let me kind of go back to the Who Would Win show and push back on some of your stuff. Okay, that's great that Homelander can pierce metal with his fingers and probably a lot more. Titan survives the black hole. Let's just see. I pierce metal with my fingers. Titanium metal, that's awesome. Hey, I survived a black hole in space easily and flew through it. I think that kind of, you know, overshadows the pierciness of metal. Titan also destroyed giant supervillains. He did that while he was fighting Fight Club, while there was 11 of them, and was fighting all of them at the same time. This is not something, a giant supervillain that, you know, you can fly through or destroy, whatever. Titan's done that, been there. That's an easy thing for Titan to do. Not just giant supervillains, giant genies, as I mentioned before, giant magical creatures. You're a giant, that's not going to matter to Titan. Very easy for it to do. Let's see, Homelander flew in the air holding a car with a family in it. It's kind of demented, but in terms of a physical feat of strength, okay, bravo. Titan did the same thing, except he was holding a cruise ship in his hands, flying into the air with it. I think that's slightly more impressive than, you know, maybe it's a big car. Maybe it's, a truck, a station wagon. I don't know. On top of that, I like how you said that Homelander kind of stormed the Oval Office and kind of took command. Funny, though, spoiler alert, it didn't last long, though, did it? But I'll mention more of that in my point number three. So for my point number three, let's just go there. Let's talk about Homelander's biggest weaknesses, because he's got a few. Now, first of all, I've already mentioned this before, Homelander has virtually no fighting skills, as in pretty much none. He's had no training, and outside of some smaller fights with less powerful opponents, he doesn't show any real fighting ability at all. This has been something discussed about the Homelander character from comic books for years. Against someone just as powerful as he is, who does know how to fight, or at least is down to fight, he loses badly. By the way, spoiler alert, he lost badly to who was that character? Black Noir. And in the comic books, I gotta spoil it, Black Noir turns out to be a clone of Homelander. And all of a sudden, Homelander is fighting Homelander, and Black Noir destroys Homelander because he's down to fight, uses his heat vision, and the heat vision destroys and rips apart Homelander's skin, and you all see all of his inside, he places the whole thing. And the next few panels, Black Noir is walking out onto the office, onto the green grass area of the oval, of the White House, carrying the skeletal and some muscles remains of an arm of Homelander with some patches of his costume. Yeah, didn't work out so well for him. something that Titan can do when he has to take on a superpowered being. Not a problem for Titan. Homelander's also mentally unstable. Look, he's erratic. We know this. His mind can break. He's actually also easily manipulated. But in this fight, his mental instability is going to work against him, as he's just going to show his true intentions to Titan, which will make Titan not hold back. See, unlike Superman, Titan will kill if necessary. He doesn't want to, but in Homelander's case, I bet you he would. And finally, here's the biggest weakness of Homelander. See, he's a Superman type of character, you know, in the same vein as an Omni-Man or like Hyperion from Marvel, but Homelander is considered to be the weakest and least powerful of all the different Superman types of characters throughout the comic book universe, and that comes from the producers of The Boys TV show itself. That character is much weaker in the comic book than an actual true Superman, and Les could fire the whole thing, and they had to figure out how to make that translate to live action. In season 3, in the finale between of the TV series, you'll notice that Homelander doesn't really do a whole lot of fighting other than shoving, pushing. There's no kicks, there's nothing else. They had to design that fight to kind of showcase Homelander's lack of skill and training, whatever, that they get from the comic books. Again, he's the weakest type of Superman-esque character possibly in all of comic books. Titan, on the other hand, is possibly a top 5, a top 3, just putting that out there. So here's how this fight goes down. They face off. Homelander throws a clumsy and very telegraphed superpower punch at Titan, who sees it coming a mile away and easily dodges and counterpunches Homelander. Remember, this is an insanely great and very well, just an amazing fighter. Homelander clearly doesn't like that and charges full blast at Titan, sending both of them through several buildings. Titan then starts to use his superior fighting skills to easily outclass Homelander. Homelander gets angry and hits Titan with a super powerful blast of his heat vision. That'll show him. Homelander starts to laugh, but his maniacal smile and laugh slowly fade. As he witnesses his heat vision doesn't hurt Titan in the least, Titan smiles and says, "Thanks for the boost," and smashes Homelander into the ground so hard, he forms a massive crater in the street. Homelander starts to whine. He emotionally breaks and says, "This isn't fair. It isn't right." Homelander's supposed to be the biggest superhero, the best superhero, the most powerful superhero, no one else. Just then, a building collapses in the distance. Screams are heard of all the people inside who are trapped and on the verge of dying. Titan says to Homelander that if he is the biggest hero, that they should put their differences aside and save the people in danger. Homelander laughs and says, "What have those people ever done for me? Screw them." Titan then sees Homelander for whom he really is. In a flash, he disappears from sight, saves all the people from the crashing building, and reappears in front of Homelander in seconds. Titan is angry. Titan knows exactly what and who he's facing in this false so-called hero standing in front of him, and that's when Titan unleashes absolute hell and devastation on Homelander, smashing him around the planet into space, blasting him with that cosmic power, ripping apart parts of his flesh, just what happened before with Black Noir, and then make him crash super hard back on Earth. A battered, bloodied, and broken Homelander lays on the ground on the edge of unconsciousness, and right before he passes out, probably permanently, Titan says, "I never give up, I never lose, and you are no hero." All of that is my point number 3.
I mean, that's generous fiction, I think you're giving to us right there, Mr. James Gavsey. You say he's a weak Superman. According to who is he a weak Superman? According to, you know, nobody I would take seriously.
Eric Kripke, one of the executive producer of The Boys on Amazon.
So, okay, great. I'm glad to see opinions of producers are now admissible on the Who Would Win show. What's next? Deleted scenes? Oh, wait. We've talked about that already in this episode. What's next? A battle being decided by who would accept tea from the other one? Oh, wait. The point I'm trying to make in all of this is Homelander is ridiculously powerful in his own universe. You know why he doesn't have that feat of going through a black hole? Because he's not dumb enough to go through a black hole. He's much smarter than Titan is what I'm getting at right here. And you have two characters who are both Superman-type characters. And Titan has some more impressive feats as far as weird things they had him do. But at the end of the day, a Homelander is going to understand what Titan's motivations are. He's going to get inside of his head. And then he's going to get inside of his head by shooting his heat vision directly into his mouth, caving out the back of Titan's head. And you said it yourself, James. The only way Homelander could be beaten in the comics was a clone of himself who was designed after the fact to be more powerful than him, using science. That's what it took. Cheating, essentially, is what it took. I think this Titan guy sounds great. I want to learn more about Titan. I want to read some of these Advent comics. I'm going to go to adventcomics.com and look into this free sample that they're offering to us. Y'all, you know, let's do that. But that being said, Homelander is just his own guy, and he crushes Titan in a 1v1. That's all I got to say about that.
All interesting stuff. Ken, you've heard 3 points from both Ray and myself, and it's time for you to make a decision. But before we get to what Ken has to say, let's celebrate the Who Would Win Patron of the Week. Every week, we choose one of our amazing members of the Who Would Win Show's Patreon community and put them in a battle. Ray, which patron do we have today?
Today, we're going old school. We're going with Gabe Ingrata. He's back, ladies and gentlemen.
Ooh, for Gabe, you need an opponent that's a little bit outside of the box, maybe a little bit side out of, I don't know, the universe, and maybe even go a little meta with this. I got it. Let's have Gabe go against the thousands of Detroit Lions fans who will be disappointed when Detroit doesn't win the Super Bowl.
James, first off, how dare you? Second off, seriously, how dare you? Detroit Lions fans are so used to being disappointed by effects of the team. You realize that the team before this last weekend was 9-3. That is the best record they've had since 1962. So what are you even talking about? How do you get disappointed about a team that never is? What disappointment implies you thought something good was going to happen. This is the thing you have to understand, is getting screwed over and getting disappointed just is common nature to Detroit Lions fans. That's why I'm able to take getting screwed on the Who Would Win show so graciously. Thank you. How is Gabe going to defeat them? Well, that's easy, because Gabe is not going to defeat them. He's going to join them. He is going to train very, very hard. He's a very young man. He's going to become a quarterback, and he's going to join the Detroit Lions with the number one overall pick. He's going to take the Lions to the Super Bowl, and Gabe Ingrata is going to win the Super Bowl for the Detroit Lions, turning those 1,000 fans into cheering maniacs who will never make him want for anything the rest of his life. That's how you win that battle. Congratulations, Gabe. You're a champion.
Wait, so you're saying Gabe Ingrata, genius Gabe, on top of being a super genius, on top of being a future mega billionaire, possibly the world's first trillionaire, the person who's going to solve or create cures for every disease in the world, is also going to be a first-round draft pick into the NFL, drafted by the Detroit Lions, and then become a multiple Hall of Famer, Super Bowl-winning quarterback. Is that what you're saying, Ray Sikandis?
He's going to be basically our Matthew Stafford after Matthew Stafford. Yes, that is correct.
I mean, this all tracks and makes complete sense. Congratulations, Gabe. That was well done. Remember, you too can become a celebrated patron of the week. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and sign up, and you may be featured in an upcoming episode of Who Would Win. Now back to the battle. Ken, it's time for your decision. Take us through your process. Tell us a story, if you will, and reveal who you think wins this battle between Homelander and Titan the Ultraman.
Oh, man, this is good. Even right up to, like I said, the point number three was neck and neck. A couple quick questions. James, you hammered that Homelander didn't have any fighting skills, right? Does Titan have any, like, fighting skills as far as, was he trained in anything? Or, I mean, I know he's a firefighter, but they're not exactly trained in, like, subduing people and stuff like that, as far as I know. Is there anything?
It's interesting that you bring that up, because I actually discussed this, and it's kind of an unfair advantage, but I discussed this with Tony Cottrell. Tony actually created Titan, first of all, through life experience. He's an insane street fighter. This is a person who grew up, like, protecting people from neighborhood bullies and the terrors of the neighborhood, and he learned how to fight. And he wanted to showcase, Tony wanted to showcase the fighting skills of Titan when he took on Fight Club. And Fight Club, like I said, they are some of the best trained fighters, MMA people, traditional martial, all super villains who use powers, tech, and everything else in conjunction with super fighting styles. And Titan was using punches, kicks, throws, dodges, takedowns, really cool martial arts and fighting techniques to take all of them out.
I had a feeling that we were going with that. It's sort of like, okay, let's go for this. You guys gave me a good one. The way I see this happening is there's going to be like a city. There's a fire going on. Titan's fire. Let's go put this out, like you said earlier. And we find out that Homelander's the one actually causing it. He's getting rid of some people he doesn't want. It's causing fire. He doesn't care. Homelander, with his super hearing, hears Titan coming and hears him reversing the work he's doing. Finds him and observes him for a second or two, and like, who is this new kid on the block? And blindsides him. Goes in, he can tell he's a super, goes in with everything he's got, leads with his heat vision, makes contact with Titan. As far as I don't remember you saying, he doesn't have any super hearing or anything like that, so he could get attacked from behind easy. And he's going to take him down to the ground and start fighting him. Just blast the heat vision from behind. with his speed, he's going to be able to flip around, reverse the holds, and sit there steaming, take a look at this person who just attacked him. While he's taking that 2 or 3 seconds to evaluate what's just happened to him, Homelander's going to hit him and knock him off him, and then the real battle starts. A blast of heat vision and cosmic rays and dodging and just going through all of that. Homelander's got that innate ability to read people, apparently, if I remember correctly, was mentioned with his doing the super senses, but then so does Titan. But Titan has the fighting skills to put towards that too, from fighting biblical level creatures. It's going to be tight, but I have a feeling it's not going to be a complete defeat. It's going to be Titan taking Homelander down and wrecking him enough that he's going to be put out through the 2-minute rule and not be able to come back because he's not going to be able to regenerate the damage. It's just the cosmic radiation is just too much for Homelander to get above, I think. If he, because Homelander seems to me to be a lot of physical defense. If it was a pure physical to physical, I think Homelander would definitely would have had a bigger chance. But because there's a lot of rays involved, I think it's just going to be too much offense coming at him over his defense. All he has to do is take his legs out or take something to slow him down, even for a second, and then he can just get him. So Titan, I have to go with Titan. Very close. It's very, very close. Just minor points take it away, but Titan takes it.
And there you have it. The first time ever Advent Comics is represented at the Who Would Win show with their flagship character, Titan the Ultraman, gets the win over Homelander, not from the TV series, oh no, but from Homelander, the more powerful version from the comic book series. Well done. For a first-time judge, you absolutely killed it. Ken Turner, the Viking, you, sir, are a national hero. Race to Canis, I'd say you debated well, but I don't think you had a chance from the moment Titan came onto the show. Tell the Legion of audience how you're feeling right now.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank Ken Bjorn Turner, hashtag let the Viking judge, for coming on and judging the show. It's very, very difficult. And this is the first ever Who Would Win fan gets to judge a battle. Oh, did I say first? I meant last. This is the last time it's ever going to happen on the Who Would Win show. You know, James was talking before about, like, how about in December every year, we get somebody off of the Patreon, a lucky person who gets very involved, very knowledgeable. And obviously it didn't work. Sorry, Ken, it didn't work out. We'll never do this again because the absolute wrong decision was made. We are going into the final battle of Who Would Win. Season 5, somehow tied after what? I've been dominating this entire season. And all you had to do, Ken, was say that Homelander won. I am massively disappointed. This was a very difficult battle to research because there's not a lot of reference material out there on Titan, and James didn't provide me those free copies of any of the Titan information, and I couldn't afford to buy them myself. I look forward to going to adventcomics.com and looking at the free sample to learn more about this character, because that's just how it goes.
I just have to say this, Ray. My decision has nothing to do with your failure as a rep presenter today. So this is, you know.
It had everything to do with your failure as judge. And thank you for having the guts to say it, Ken.
So you're saying Ray failed is what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're saying,
right.
Yeah,
it was okay. Close. If he would have twisted some things, he got some other information out there.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, if guys would have brought up, you know, a kryptonite, whatever.
Hey, yeah.
You know.
Right. You know, and it's just, I just wish there was more, you know, Advent Comics has only been around for 14 years, almost 15 years. It's distributed by Diamond Comics in, you know, 34 countries, 6 continents. I just wish there was a way for Ray to access the comic books of Advent Comics. Oh, yeah, that's right. There were a ton of ways to do it. By the way, Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, I highly recommend to check out Advent Comics. Go to adventcomics.com. Like we said before, Tony Cottrell graciously put one issue of Titan the Ultraman on the homepage of this website. Go ahead and check it out and love it. And then just keep talking about Titan the Ultraman. And don't be surprised if you see big things for Advent Comics in the future. Now, Ken, I got to tell you, I just got a text from the Who Would Win production team. They think you did great. They want you back on the show. They love you as a super fan. Now they love you as a super judge. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience, our faithful fan base, where they can find you online.
I am on Twitter and Blue Sky and Threads as Bjorn the Viking. Pretty much anywhere you see Bjorn the Viking or some variants of that, it's me. I'll sign into the social media things just to lock the name down. So, and then there's my podcast, Bjorn's_Keep, which is hopefully going to take off and have some good things coming. So I highly suggest you guys to listen to some of the past stuff and see where it's going to grow this coming year. I thank yous to take a look, too.
Absolutely. All right. Well done. Now, Race to Canis, another hard-fought loss on your part. We are tied for this season of the Who Would Win show. Unbelievable how this all happened with one more episode remaining in the season. In the meantime, tell the Legion of Audience where they can find you online.
It's not surprising James Gavsey would resort to dirty tricks, pulling out a character that only he seems to know about. I'm surprised, honestly, he didn't take James Gavsey's own fan fiction about himself as the character on the Who Would Win show battle and bring that in here. I really thought Homelander walking in the door was a slam dunk victory, especially the comic book more powerful version of him. Regretfully, though, that is not how it came to pass today. I also got from the production team of Reclaim Detroit at VampireDetroit.com. Unfortunately, Ken, we will no longer be needing your character on the show. He's been completely cut out. I don't know how that character in the club gets through that door otherwise, but we're just going to have to figure it out. It's a shame. Everything got lost in a fit of rage. Of course, I'm disappointed in this battle. I'm disappointed in Ken. I'm disappointed in Titan. I'm disappointed in everyone, basically, but myself, because I was great. We have one more battle to go, and I know it's going to be a holiday-themed battle because it typically is. We're not going to go composites versus Afro Samurai. No fan service in this last one. This was your fan service, and I hope you enjoyed it. Next week is pure knockdown, drag out, terror on a holiday schematic. That's fine. I'm going to win. I'm going to win season 5 because I have to. You can find me on Threads at Almighty Ray 316. Go there. Get off the Bird app. Come join me and let's do this thing.
Are you referring to X?
I don't know what that is.
Fair enough. All right. You can find me on X, aka Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by typing in at James Gavsey. Remember to join the official Who Would Win Facebook group to make a suggestion for a matchup for the show and be part of our growing community. You can also find us on Instagram and TikTok at Who Would Win Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever else you go for your podcasts. On behalf of myself, Ray Cicadas, and the rest of the amazing Who Would Win production team, thank you once again for checking out another episode of Who Would Win. We'll see you next time.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.
Hey, gang. I hope you enjoyed this episode and love listening to the show as much as we enjoyed making it. Quick reminder that you can support us by going to patreon.com/WhoWouldWinShow right now. Okay, gotta prepare for next week's episode. Hope the rest of your day is full of wins.